Welcome to the LDS Addiction Recovery Program Spouse and Family Support Podcast. In today's meeting, we will discuss Principle 2, Shake Off the Chains with Which Ye Are Bound. Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles has said the following about the healing power of Christ's atonement.
He knows of our anguish, and He is there for us. Like the Good Samaritan in his parable, when He finds us wounded at the wayside, He binds up our wounds and cares for us. Brothers and sisters, the healing power of His atonement is for you, for us, for all.
In this series, you will hear actual participants discussing gospel principles of recovery and healing. Spouse and family support meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. All of the individuals in these podcasts are regular attendees in the Addiction Recovery Program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true opinions and experiences of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Spouse and Family Support Group. I'm Sister Marsh, and this is my companion, Sister Oswald, and we'll be conducting today's group. I don't think there's anyone here for the first time, but let's still go around the room. And Bill, would you start and introduce yourselves to us by your first name?
My name is Bill.
Okay.
My name is Eric.
Hi, my name is Christy.
Hi, my name is Rick.
Hi, my name is Mary.
Thank you. Just a reminder to turn off your cell phones, and I don't believe we have any announcements. So before we begin, would someone volunteer to offer an opening prayer? Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
Our dear Father in heaven, we're thankful this evening to be gathered at this meeting. We're thankful for this program, and we ask that Thy Spirit be here with us this evening, that we may be comforted and strengthened. And these things we pray for. In the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Eric. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Family Support Meetings assist those with loved ones ensnared in pornography and addiction. We are a group of brothers and sisters who share our experiences, faith, and hope as we study and apply the principles of the gospel as they correlate with the Spouse and Family Support Guide. Our meetings provide a safe place for honest sharing because we adhere to the principles of confidentiality and anonymity, and we use appropriate language and behavior to invite the Spirit to be with us. As we apply these gospel principles in our own lives, we receive power through the atonement of Jesus Christ to find hope and healing and to receive the full blessings of the gospel. Each week, we focus on a different principle. We'll go around the room, and each person who is willing may read a paragraph. You may pass if you prefer just to listen. We have extra copies of the principle for you to use in this meeting in case you do not have one. During the reading, listen for thoughts and feelings that resonate with you. In addition, we will be pausing at the end of each section to discuss what we have read. Remember to raise your hand to allow only one person to speak at a time. We will end the reading and discussion to allow time for sharing portion of the meeting. Who would like to begin the reading? In fact, Mary, would you begin? Thank you.
Shake off the chains with which ye are bound. Awake and put on the armor of righteousness. Shake off the chains with which ye are bound, and come forth out of obscurity and rise from the dust. We are not to blame for our loved ones' addictions. It is common, as we try to make sense of our difficult situation, to wonder why and how our loved ones became addicted. We may feel we are somehow responsible. As parents, we may think about what we could have done differently and all the imperfect things we should not have done. As spouses, we wonder if we fail to meet the needs of our husband or wife and ask ourselves such questions as, am I not good enough? And what more could I have done? When things do not turn out well, we are tempted to blame ourselves. This type of thinking may lead us to improperly feel responsible for other people's choices, resulting in undeserved guilt and despair. A vital element in Heavenly Father's plan is the principle of agency, the ability and privilege to make our own choices. As we study and understand this principle, the Spirit will testify to us that we are not the cause of our loved ones' addictions. Elder Richard G. Scott said, "If you are free of serious sin yourself, Don't suffer needlessly the consequences of another's sins. As a wife, husband, parent, or loved one, you can feel compassion for one who is in the gall of bitterness from sin. Yet you should not take upon yourself a feeling of responsibility for those acts. Our loved ones are responsible for the choices they make. While the exact reason for their addiction may be complex, we are not responsible for their choices. A good reminder is, whosoever doeth iniquity doeth unto himself, for behold, ye are free. Our loved ones are likely to make bad choices when dealing with their addictions. Part of the process of recovery and healing for them is to make mistakes, but to take full responsibility for their decisions. Our success and happiness in life should not be measured by how other people choose to exercise their agency. We are responsible only for our own choices and actions.
Thank you. Have you felt responsible in some way for your loved one's poor choices? And if so, how has this affected you? Eric?
This is so tough. Okay. You know, I think one of the biggest struggles that I have been through in dealing with a loved one's addiction is that blame, that feeling of responsible. Number one, because we all can improve on so many different areas of our lives, and so we do feel vulnerable that way. But I remember in my case, my spouse had an addiction, and when asked about it, you know, why, what's going on, how can I help? Because I learned later that an addict has to put the addiction in perspective, that oftentimes it can be portrayed to other people, like a lot of things were my fault. Mm-hmm. But, you know, going through the ARP program and through counseling and therapy, we both learned that, no, everybody needs to take ownership for their actions. And that was something new to me. And once I began to have a testimony of that, all of a sudden the weight started to be lifted off of my shoulders. And that's when my wife began to heal, because she began to take ownership and improve her life. And I learned that, you know, I needed to focus on my own stuff. You know, I've got plenty to take care of without worrying about someone else.
That's great.
Thank you.
I believe that I was the mother. And being the mom, you're supposed to protect your children. And I felt that maybe I hadn't taught them the right principles. I felt that maybe I hadn't been a good example. There were so many things that were going on in my head when I realized that I had these two boys with addictions that I thought, wait a minute, why didn't I catch this? Why didn't I stop this? And I just remember the feelings of guilt that I felt, that it just really became all-consuming. It consumed my life to where I couldn't really do or think about anything else but just trying to get these boys back and get them out of their addiction. So, and I, at that point in time, I didn't even know where to go. I didn't know where to turn.
Thank you. Okay, what has helped you to recognize that you are not responsible for your loved one's choices? Mary?
Well, I'll just add to this. After I found somewhere to go, and after I found the ARP program, and I was able to learn and understand about the atonement, I realized that I was not responsible, that they had their agency, and that I had to respect that agency, I had to respect the agency that they had. And there was no, I was not going to be able to step in and stop them from doing what they were doing and from making their poor choices.
Thank you. Yes.
I wanted to share that I also felt totally responsible for my son's addictions. And It wasn't until I started coming to the addiction recovery program that I realized that I wasn't responsible for their choices. And I also had a lot of misunderstandings about addiction and a lot of judgment about addiction. And as we started to come to the meetings and just became more aware and more educated about addiction, and it kind of helped take away the judgment part of it, me judging my sons and also judging myself, and began to learn principles, true principles that brought peace to me, to my soul, because I was having a really hard time managing all my negative emotions. My fear, I was just in constant fear. I had a depression, a despair, a hopelessness. It was totally all-consuming. And that has been the greatest blessing in our family's life is this program, because I needed the principles for myself. I needed to have greater faith and less fear.
Thank you.
I'm going to speak for the man. when I first heard came face to face with the addictions in our family, I of course took some responsibility for that and started examining myself and what I could do. There was all kinds of different emotions. There was anger. There was, I'm just going to isolate myself from them. And that was probably the biggest thing that I had to learn, was that we are still a family. There is still tremendous hope. And I had to go from that, the isolation where I just felt like they have fallen off the ledge and there's no more hope, back to there is plenty of hope for our family, and there is a lot of really good in my sons who are involved in the addiction. And I had to get on the same side of the table with them and say, we are still, all of us, in the process. We're all still in a repentance process, every single one of us. And as soon as I got that realization that I had stuff to do about myself and could get out of their business and work on my stuff, then I felt like we were a family again and there was hope for us. Before that, it was just division and, all those negative emotions that I have identified through this program were really messing up my head.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to our next principle. Would you like to read for us?
Sure. We are children of God. Our loved one's addiction may impact how we see ourselves and how we see life. We may begin to define ourselves by our experience with our loved one's addiction, as it can sometimes seem all-encompassing. It is important that we remember who we are and why we are here on the earth. God is not only our ruler and creator, but He is also our Heavenly Father. All men and women are literally the sons and daughters of God. We can rely on the simple truth that He is our Father and we are His children. Understanding this relationship brings peace and confidence to move forward, not because of our own abilities, but because of His goodness and matchless power and the atonement of His Son, Jesus Christ. No matter what is happening in our lives, we find that we can focus on the eternal stability of His love for us. This realization is where our process of healing begins. In the midst of our trials, as we turn our hearts to our Father in heaven, His love and the healing power of His Son's atonement can help us gain courage and hope.
Thank you, Rick, so much. So, in what way does the knowledge that you are a child of God help you?
One of the most powerful moments that I've had over the last 4 years happened in one of those really early times when I was working this program. And I read the scriptures about Moses and his realization that he was nothing and yet he was a son of God. And the questions that were asked were about how can a little child who is very incapable of doing a lot of things be of infinite worth? And it just really struck me that all of us are in process, no matter where we are, no matter what our addictions, no matter what kinds of things we have messed up, we're in process. And the atonement of Jesus Christ makes it safe for us to be able to make mistakes, suffer the consequences, recognize what we've done wrong, and change. And that gave me tremendous hope for myself and for my addicted loved ones.
That's great. Rick.
You know, when we're young, we learn that we're a child of God. But when the chips are down, when there's a crisis, when you have a son or two, which we had two, that become addicted, and now their lives are threatened, and our lives as families are just in shambles, that's when the things of the gospel you really start looking at. And this idea of being a child of God, as we started going to the meetings and learning more deeply of the enabling power of the atonement, there was a new level that I learned that not only am I a child of God, but my sons that were struggling, they're his children first. And he knows them. And he knew what they were going through. And what I learned is to more fully trust in his grace, in his will for them. And the experience that we've had now, that years ago, actually 7, 8 years ago that our boys went through this, till now, we are grateful that we went through this. We're grateful for addiction in our family. Now, I'm not grateful for the dark days. I'm not grateful for the sleepless nights. But what I'm grateful for is having to dig deep and understanding that the atonement has the power to change a person's very nature, their very personality. The atonement, the enabling power, has the power to take addiction away as a person gains understanding and does allow the atonement part of their life. And so, as a child of God, what I learned is more fully how to absolutely trust our Heavenly Father, that he knows us and what we're going through as family members, but he really knows our loved one that's struggling with addiction and loves them much more than we do, and he can cause miracles in their life at the proper time.
Thank you so much. How will you strengthen your relationship with God then? Through such things as prayer, scripture study, and obedience to his commandments.
I recall the early experiences of going through the addiction. Addiction just sucked so much happiness and light out of our home that it became kind of an oppressive place to be. And I started to recognize that, you know, what was missing is the things that are gone when light, when darkness is around. And that was, it was the Spirit. It was a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I remember meeting with the bishop early and saying, you know, we're going through this problem. And he challenged me. He says, Eric, I want you. He says, I promise you, if you will have family prayer every night with your kids, with your family, that you'll see a difference. And that did two things. One, it let me know that I wasn't alone, that my Heavenly Father was in this. But also, as a parent, I had, or a priesthood holder, I had a responsibility to provide spiritual leadership in my home. And as I put forth that faith, to pray with my children and read more of the scriptures and just lean on my Father in heaven. My testimony was magnified that I knew that my Father in heaven loved me, that he loved my children, that he loved my spouse who was going through the addiction. And it turned out to be, I guess, with every trial, there are blessings. And yeah, addiction, we were blessed by the things that we learned to cope and survive. I guess that's about the only way I can put it.
As addiction became stronger in my family, I felt really isolated. I didn't really feel like there was anyone I could really talk to. My husband kind of is more of the tough love, and I'm the more enabler. And so many times, you know, we had a hard time, you know, coming together on the same page. And also, I didn't want to burden my children, my younger children. And I didn't want to talk with my parents and scare them and, you know, concern them. And I remember just feeling so alone and so fragile. And scripture study and prayer became my lifeline. I mean, I needed strength so much. And that became kind of my recipe. I had to do that to function, to get through my day, to take care of my other children. We have 5 children, and so to take care of my younger children. And that was really big for me to discover Heavenly Father in a real personal way. I always believed in my Savior, always believed in Heavenly Father, but I will never forget the time when I realized I had nobody who could truly understand what I was going through. And when I actually knelt down and prayed to my Father in heaven and was able to express my concerns, my fears, and then to actually feel his comfort and feel his love gave me so much strength. And then I recognized I am his daughter. I am a child of God. And I did feel this reassurance that was, I needed that so much. And I'm grateful that addiction came into my home because I have learned to love the words of God and depend on them. I am nothing without those things. They fill my soul greater than any other comfort I have ever found in this life. So I was so grateful to be able to depend on prayer and scriptures. And then I also, as far as being obedient to the commandments, I think I more sincerely tried to do everything right, to be as close to the Spirit as possible, because I feel like I didn't know what to do, but Heavenly Father knew what to do, and I needed to be as peaceful as possible to hear the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. So that was huge for me.
Thank you, Christy.
You know, like some men, I'm a fixer. There's a problem, I'm going to try to fix it. And this is a problem I could not fix. And oh, I tried. And I tried to control. And everything that I tried to do did not work. And what I learned is that I had no control at this. And there's something else that needed to happen with our boys to help them. And it wasn't Dad, wasn't me. And as I went to the scriptures and really searched, I found that the Savior's grace is sufficient. I love Ether 12 and 27, where it says, I give unto men weaknesses that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. What was interesting is that I found that this tragedy in our family, this addiction that plagued us, wasn't there only for our boys to learn things, but it was for Dad to learn things. I found that there was many things that I needed to work on. And this is one way that Heavenly Father, in His plan, allowed me to learn. And I found that His grace was sufficient as I went to Him in prayer and scripture study. And the character defects, if you will, or the character struggles that I've had, I was able to learn through the atonement how to apply the atonement to help me overcome a lot of these weaknesses. And so what I have loved about this process is learning about me and how I can be a better son of God. And as I worked on my stuff, the things that I had issues with, I found that my boys, as they worked through their addiction and worked through their things, we then as father and son became as one. The relationship that I have with Heavenly Father is greater than it ever has been. But the relationships now with my boys, who was before was not good, is now incredible. And it's because of this process that we learned. I love the addiction recovery program and what it's taught us.
Bill, would you like to comment?
Yes, I would. At first, when the realization of the addiction, you know, was very apparent suddenly, I just wanted to pray and have it all better, you know. I just, you know, and all of my prayers was focused on everything getting better quickly, and I was going to come up with the right answers, and it was just going to be all over very soon, and God was going to manifest this wonderful miracle in our lives. But I have learned through this program that whenever I hear the word agency, I try to put the word sacred in front of it. And really recognize that I don't control that piece of the equation. But there is something that I do control, and that is what I've really recognized through this whole process, and that is the answers that I need to get from my Heavenly Father directly through prayer and scripture study, I can get. I have control of that. I mean, I don't have control of when they come or how they come. But I do know that they do come, and they do come a lot when I am in deep trouble. And they come in very obvious ways as I read and I study the scriptures. And the scriptures, because of this process, have just opened themselves to me on so many levels that I had no idea before. And, you know, so the dailies that we call them, you know, your daily scripture study, your prayers, the fasting you do and all that sort of thing with a problem like this just magnify, and the power of God is manifest so much more than it ever was in our lives before.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Christy, would you read the next set?
Sure.
Thank you.
We are free to act for ourselves. We may feel powerless because we have little control over what our loved one chooses to do or the consequences of those choices. The gospel teaches us that we are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. We can use our agency to better our situation and make righteous choices regardless of our circumstances. Elder David A. Bednar counseled, "As you and I come to understand and employ the enabling power of the atonement in our personal lives, we will pray and seek for strength to change our circumstances rather than praying for our circumstances to be changed. We will become agents who act rather than objects that are acted upon."
Thank you. How will you use your agency to act and to improve your situation?
Well, this kind of goes back to prayer again. I have the agency to pray for things, but I do understand that it is thy will and not my will. And so I learned something really important early on as to how to pray to my Heavenly Father. And I was kind of the same way. I would just plead, please take this away and please fix them and make them better. And, you know, tomorrow I want to wake up and make sure that, you know, and they'll come to me and tell me that they're all done and everything's good. And that's what I was praying for. And I changed my prayers to say this: please, Heavenly Father, let whatever needs to happen, happen that will turn them around. And then I had to hang on because then it happened. And it might be jail, and it might be, you know, something that was tough that I thought, wait a minute, is this what I really want to have happen? But in the case of maybe being incarcerated, it was what needed to happen because it was a strengthening time for all of us. And my son got the help he needed in jail with a program there where he used the program. And it was something that was such a at the beginning when he left and went, I thought, oh, wait, this isn't what I wanted to have happen. But then now that I look back on it, I can see the tender mercies of the Lord there saying, yes, this is what needed to happen to turn him around because you're not going to do it. It will be through someone else. And I understood that now.
Thank you, Christy.
I feel really grateful because one of my sons had an opportunity to go to a wonderful rehabilitation treatment center, and the family support educator said, you know, the best thing that we can do for those that we love who are struggling with addiction is work our own program. And that was so important for me to learn that the best thing I could do was work my own program. And so as I started looking at the principles involved in addiction recovery and you know, working those 12 steps and just journaling and doing all those kinds of things that I learned just from people in the program, people who were successfully finding long-term sobriety, family members who were finding peace, all of that. That was really exciting for me to learn that there are things that I can do that will strengthen me and give me peace. And I love that quote by Boyd K. Packer. It could be Richard G. Scott, but it's so great because he talks about how even in the midst of the turmoil, we can have that inner peace. No matter what decisions that are being made by our loved ones around us, we can have peace. And I have found that for myself in my life. And we did have a son that had a relapse, and the way I handled it was so different than I did the first time. And I think it's because I had been given the opportunity to act for myself and learn the principles of recovery for myself. And that was true for me. And that's a true promise from an apostle of the Lord.
I'll never forget when one of our boys was 15 years old. We were having a talk, he and I, and he says, you know, Dad, I know that you think the church is true. I know you think the Book of Mormon's true and there's a God. I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe it's true. So you need to respect me, and I'll respect you. Deal? And, you know, that boy ended up in jail several times. And it's interesting, this discussion on agency, because he is my boy, and his dad had a lot to learn. I learned that I couldn't control, and that's what I was trying to do, is control him to the celestial kingdom, control him to get on a mission, control him in scripture study, making sure he's doing that. But that's Satan's plan. And I love this part in Elder Bednar's quote where it says, we will pray and seek for strength to change our circumstances rather than praying for our circumstances to be changed. See, I wanted to change these circumstances. And what I learned is that our Heavenly Father has given us this sacred agency for us to learn. That boy in one of his stints in jail got on his knees and he learned firsthand that there was a God. Today, that boy that didn't believe in the Book of Mormon and didn't believe in a God has been sealed in the temple and is very faithful. And it's a testimony that that agency is so important. And what I learned as a father is as we had our boys going through this, what comes to mind is a scripture, "Be still and know that I am God." In other words, don't try to control them. Let me worry about them. And I have a plan for them. Just trust in me. And you know, as I learned that the best thing that I could do in this situation was to work on my own recovery, my own stuff. As my boys saw that in me, that's when things changed. That's when, as I let go, they seemed to improve the fastest and make the biggest strides.
The principle of agency really started to make sense after an experience I had. I was the guy that was going to control and fix everything. I didn't realize I was the epitome of the codependent guy, you know, that all the books are written about. But it was, I remember I went to the rehabilitation center and my wife was going to be released and come home. And I was so proactive. I had this whole list of things that were going to happen when she came home. And bless his heart, the therapist that was there, he says, "Eric, I want to stop you right there." He says, "This list, you are putting too much on your wife and too much on yourself." He says, "Let's frame it this way," in therapist speak. He says, "When you think your wife should go to a meeting, you go to a meeting. When you think she should read the scriptures, you get out your scriptures. When you think she should attend church, go to church. And when you think she should go to the temple, you go to the temple." Finally, it clicked that both of us needed to really work our own program, that Heavenly Father had a path of healing for my wife, and I had my own. And to summarize it, what he said was, "Eric, I promise you, if you work your own program and you allow your wife to work her own program, you will have more empathy, more love, and you will be stronger as a couple." And that was 10 months ago, and it has been demonstrated to be true. But what I loved about that is it finally allowed me to be set free, to really let my testimony of agency take root and to finally apply it.
I had to learn that agency applied to my emotions as well. In other words, I could do something about the emotions that I was feeling. Before I really got into this program and started identifying those negative emotions that were actually driving my children from me or isolating me or somehow keeping us from being a family, my emotions were controlling me, and they were controlling my who I was. And so I realized that I had to repent of that. I had to give up fear. I had to give up self-pity. I had to give up resentment. I had to give up all of those things that I thought were just part of life. But I could repent of those. And so I think the answer to this question is I used my agency to fix the emotions that were getting in the way of my own recovery. I learned a really, really important quote in a meeting in Idaho that I attended a long time ago where they said that you can tell whether somebody is in recovery by whose business they're in. You know, if we're in somebody else's business, whoever that may be, we're not in recovery. And, you know, those emotions that put us in other people's business are destructive.
So great. Thank you. Awesome.
How does the second article of faith apply to your situation?
We've kind of said it already.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of elaborated on it a lot.
No, that's true.
I'm going to take a different angle on it because the obvious angle is that, yeah, we believe that men will be punished for their own sins and not for Adam's transgression. But I am so codependent that I don't want my loved ones to be punished for their sins. I want it. I'll take it. Give it to me. But I had to learn that the very best, because addiction is so powerful and it truly is a disease, I believe that with all my heart, I had to learn the very best motivation for them was to feel the consequences of their choices and for me to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, I kept trying to fix them. And I just knew that if I studied hard enough, you know, that I would find the perfect conference talk to share with them or the perfect scripture, you know, to yeah. and there would be this miracle, right? Mm-hmm. But I really felt gently that Heavenly Father was saying, you know, please just kind of let me take the wheel here, you know, just step aside and let me do this for you. And when I finally got that, when I finally figured that out, and I remember just crying. I remember the very day that I just cried and said, I am completely powerless to help my precious sons. You know, please, please, you know, I'm begging, please take this. Please help them. I felt such a love and such a peace when in that prayer that it gave me the confidence to do that, to kind of let back. And I learned to pray a special prayer and say, Heavenly Father, please bless my sons in the way that thou seest that they need help. You know, please help them with what you see that they need. Because I realized that I didn't know. And I think it gave me a little bit of patience to allow God's timetable and to just let go and let God.
And, you know, just to take that one step further as far as how I felt also, because I did the exact same things, reading scriptures, reading conference talks, going to the temple for the boys. That was what I was doing. But an interesting thing happened to me while I was doing that. I became spiritually dead. Because I wasn't working on myself. Mm. Everything was all centered around them. And as I would read the conference talks, I was underlining, okay, when he comes home, he's got to read this. I'll put this out on the counter. And he's going to read this, and this will just really get him, and he'll really feel the Spirit when he reads this. And it was interesting because I wasn't reading it for myself. I was trying to fix and do it for them. And then when I finally gave up and started to read for myself and started to read conference talks for me and the scriptures for me, and I got to 3 Nephi 18:32, where he says in that scripture, and I shall heal them. He said, you know, you don't know when they're going to come back with full purpose of heart, but I do. And I will heal them, and not me. So when I started to read my scriptures for myself and started to study and go to the temple for myself, I always put their names on the prayer roll, but when my temple experience was my own experience, and it wasn't for them. That's when my healing started, and I realized that my Heavenly Father loved me just as much as he loves them, and that we will both heal together through this process.
The article of faith that really turned me around in this program that I've referred to a lot is number 11, where we claim the privilege of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience and allow all men, including our sons and daughters, the same privilege. And I've had to repeat that over and over to myself in order to get myself in the right mental state to recognize that it is sacred agency, that they do have to come to the Savior on their own timetable with their own experiences and with the consequences of the decisions that they make.
Thank you. For those of you who have joined us since the meeting began, we welcome you. We will now begin the sharing portion of the meeting. You are invited to share your personal experiences of applying gospel principles in your life. Please focus your sharing on the solution rather than the problem. Refrain from mentioning graphic details about the practice of your loved one's addiction. Also, it is perfectly acceptable to pass if you prefer to listen only. Confidentiality and anonymity foster honesty and make this a safe place to share. In keeping with the principle of anonymity, we invite you to introduce yourself by your first name only. Who would like to begin our sharing tonight? Eric. We'll go with Eric. Thank you.
I have really enjoyed this night's meeting. I really needed to hear a lot of the things that were said. Not because they're brand new, but I need that reaffirmation that I'm not alone in this recovery process, that others are feeling, have felt the same way, or are their experiences have strengthened me or given me encouragement and hope. And I'm just grateful for this program that facilitates that kind of support. How wonderful it is. Also, what's been going through my mind tonight, too, is the Serenity Prayer. And it's still trying to sink in, but every little bit I grab it, but it those words, God grant unto me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the wisdom to know the difference. My understanding of that grows day by day, but also lets me know that my Father in heaven is really in control, that he loves me. He loves my loved ones, and he loves everyone that is suffering from addiction or is suffering from the results of someone that's addiction, and that there is hope for all of us. Again, I'm just thankful for those messages that have been shared.
Rick,
you know, I've been thinking about the title of this meeting, "Shake Off the Chains with Which You Are Bound." You know, I thought in the beginning, our boys have these chains of addiction. I don't have a problem. It's not my issue. They are the ones that have the issue. I'm praying. I go to church. They're the ones that are in trouble, not me. So I don't have to work on me. We got to work on them. Then the question is, for us as family members, why are we talking about shaking off the chains with which you're bound? Why do we talk about that for us? What I found was this. As our boys were in the midst of their addiction, and we had to really delve into this to try as a family to figure it all out, one thing we learned was that the core center of all addiction is shame and guilt, and that this shame is palpable. This shame that a person feels, this emotional pain, drives addiction. And what I found is, as our lives were chaotic and as our boys were in the midst of their addiction, I would try to shame them to motivate them. Things like, what are you doing? This is not what our family's about. What do you, you know, and I would just work that angle. Well, what was happening is that would just drive them further into their shame. Mm-hmm. And they just wanted to go use. Not only did they have their issues, but through this process, what I found out is that Dad had issues that were similar to addiction, and I had to shake these chains off. For example, this problem of shaming was the emotional dishonesty within our family. It was the elephant in the room that nobody was talking about. Now, I didn't cause addiction. I couldn't control it, but in some degree, I was contributing by shaming. The problem was it had a hold on me. This was a character weakness that held me bound. So this idea of shaking off the chains with which you're bound is very applicable to me. They had to work on their stuff, but it was made known to me through the Spirit. I had to work on mine. Just like the power of the atonement is there to help a person overcome their addiction, to help them overcome something that they couldn't overcome on their own, what I found is that, boy, the shaming thing was a part of my life. It was just who I was. I love my kids. They love me, but throughout our lives, I tend to shame them to get them to do things. And that had a hold on me like chains. And what I found is that the addiction recovery program for me was a practical application of the atonement. It was the Savior's plan of healing Dad, so this emotional dishonesty with our family could leave. And so as I worked my program and learned truly the enabling power of the atonement, how I could be changed, then things really started to happen. I remember the day when I mentioned that to one of my sons about the shame, and I was working on me. From that point on, I can remember it, the look in his eyes. He says, "Dad, that means everything to me." And so shaking off the chains that I was bound with could only be done through the enabling power of the atonement, and accessing that atonement meant everything to me and to the relationship now that my wife and I have, our boys have, and our other children have.
This principle that we've gone through tonight is really important to me because I remember feeling so guilty about what was going on in our family because it was my fault, so I thought. And I remember going to a meeting one night and having a gentleman in our meeting say, "I just want to have an Alma experience." And as I learned and studied about that, I realized that I was probably going to have a Lehi experience instead. And and that was okay because Lehi was just as much a prophet as Alma. And I really understood at that point in time how important the first line of the Book of Mormon is. And that is, "I, Nephi, being born of goodly parents." And I didn't really understand that until that point in time where I realized Nephi was telling us, "Hey, I have these amazing parents, and I'm going to tell you about them." And he proceeds to tell about Lehi and about what a great, great father he was. And then he says, "Now let me tell you about my brothers." And that, as I studied that and learned that, I realized, you know what? We all have different crosses to bear. We all have agency, and my lot in life is going to be this right now with these boys. So it was really important for me to let them know, the first and most important thing for me to let them know is that I loved them. And I wasn't doing that. I was doing the same thing that all of us have been doing, and that was shaming them. "How dare you do this? How dare you say this?" And I learned that contention and the Spirit could not coincide in the same room. So when things got really awful and terrible and they were very rebellious, the Spirit told me one very simple thing, and that was, "Bear your testimony." Because the Spirit will always be there when you bear a testimony. So I would just bear a simple testimony and walk away. And it's interesting on how our relationships started to heal as they realized, number one, I wasn't going to fight with him anymore. I was done. And number two, I had a testimony of the gospel, no matter what. And they weren't going to shake that. So this principle that we talked about tonight is so important to me to know and understand that I have to respect agency. I have to respect their process in getting better. And they, in turn, respected my process in getting better. And now that we have a really great relationship, and I wish I could say that they have been sealed or that they have been on missions, but they have not. They are still struggling in their addictions. But our love is so strong. I know they will call me when things get bad. And they know that they can count on me because I will bear my testimony to them. And they know that. And they know I have a testimony of the gospel. So I am very thankful for this step, for this principle that we have, and learning and understanding how important it is to let them use their agency, because I need to use my own too.
Thank you, Mary.
I also love this title, Shaking Off the Chains That Were, you know, with Which You Are Bound, and Come Forth Out of Obscurity, because addiction is such a time when you just kind of want to hide. You want to hide and you want to keep it a secret. And and I noticed when I just made a phone call to a missionary in our ward that was involved with some kind of addiction program. And I made the phone call, and I remember a little voice in my head saying, "Don't do it. Don't call. Everybody will know how dysfunctional you are." But I'm so grateful I called. And the only thing that he told me was, you know, you and your husband ought to start going to these 12-step meetings. And I will never forget, from the very first meeting we went to, I just felt like our family was finally on the right track. And the spirit was so strong. And my husband felt it as well. It was like, I don't know that I've ever felt the spirit quite that strong. And I think it's because that's where we were supposed to be. And I never thought my boys would ever come to a 12-step meeting, ever. But they did. And things started to change so quick. And we were coming out of obscurity and arising from the dust, just like the scripture says. It was, once it got into the light, it was a miracle how fast we started to recover and heal as a family. It was just huge. And this lesson also reminds me of the parable of the mote and the beam that the Savior taught, how he said you're focusing on the mote in your neighbor's eye, which I didn't realize, but it's defined as like a little sliver. And in Matthew, the Savior even clarifies, he says you can't even behold the beam in your own eye, which is like a big 2x4. And that's what I found with this program. At first, I was lost because I was focusing my whole life on somebody else. And I'll never forget when I got to step 11, as I started going to the program, seek through prayer and meditation to know the Lord's will and have the power to carry it out. It just hit me so hard that, oh my goodness, how can I know the Lord's will for me when I am constantly focused on my boys, you know? And I was not living my own life. And I think it's a wonderful message to us that we can be an agent to act. And as I got involved in learning all I could about recovery, about addiction, things became so hopeful and so bright and exciting. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so thankful to learn these principles and not be focusing on that mote all the time. And try to ask God to show me my own beam. And he's so sweet to show me one little thing at a time. I love him.
Thank you, Christy.
Hi, I'm Bill.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Bill.
I think addiction recovery has really taught me to look at the Book of Mormon in a completely different way. I mean, the Book of Mormon suddenly has become for me a whole bunch of families that are dysfunctional, just like mine with, you know, and so I just feel like I'm living in the Book of Mormon. And, you know, Lehi's family was extremely dysfunctional, and he was learning, and Nephi's Psalm and all of those things are just right out of an addiction recovery meeting. I mean, they're the same things that we are always talking about in addiction recovery meeting. And Alma and the sons of Mosiah were all addicts, and they all had their problems, and they came out of it by applying the principles that we talk about, and then they taught others those same principles. And it all was just this great story of deliverance. And when I started coming to addiction recovery meetings, and especially going to the meetings where there were addicts that were coming out of addiction, just getting out of my own isolation and seeing the miracle in other people's lives and seeing the progress they made from week to week just opened my eyes and said, you know, we are living in the Book of Mormon. We are living in a miracle. We are living in redemption. We are living in, you know, if I've said so many times in meetings, if I could walk with the Savior down the streets of Jerusalem or the Holy Land and see him work miracles, I couldn't know any more firmly and any more obviously of his power to heal and change fundamentally people's lives than I do now just watching the people in this room. It is truly a huge evidence of the power of God to deliver those who have faith in him and are willing to work his program. And that's what I've learned here, and I have a huge testimony of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your beautiful shares. It's really meant a lot to me. I'm Sister Marsh.
Hi, Sister Marsh.
And I'm grateful for the things that you've taught me tonight. I have been thinking a lot about motherhood. I heard somewhere that to be a mother is to watch your heart go walking outside your body for the rest of your life. And I'm sure being a dad is not far from that. And so when our children suffer, we want to help. We want to fix. And sometimes the things they suffer, they have to fix themselves. And it's hard to know where that happened, where that should happen. I want to tell you of an experience that I had where I felt like I was released from some chains of false pride. That's all it was. I remember several years ago, I was listening to conference, and here were my thoughts. Oh, I hope so-and-so heard that talk. And then another talk. Oh, I hope so-and-so heard that talk. That is someone's, they need to hear that talk. Oh, I hope so. So you can see my problem, right? I was listening to general conference in behalf of other people. And the thought hit me that that was what I was doing, and I was totally humbled and grateful that the Spirit taught me wrong thing to do, Sister Marsh, that you need to listen to General Conference in behalf of yourself only. And not long after that, I'm the mother of five sons, and my oldest son went on his mission and had to come home from the MTC. And this was a shock to me because, first of all, my children, I thought, existed to make me look good as a mother. And how dare he do that? I had spent my life, dedicated my life to these children, and I had done everything I was supposed to do. And what in the world was he thinking? And from that false pride attitude, I went into the depths of despair. And started to really pity myself. And I was speaking to my older sister about all the problems that this meant, and I was just distraught. And she was very quiet. And then she stopped me, and she said, "Mary, I'm going to give you 3 days to cry. Then you got to pick up your handcart and get to the valley. This boy needs you." And so another good chain was ripped off, where it wasn't about me, but it was about how I could help this boy and what I needed to do. As a result of that, I dropped to my knees, as we all do when great adversity hits us, and I felt impressed to fast for this boy. And so I did, and I began to felt prompted that it was okay for me to fast once a week for him. And so every Saturday I would begin my fast, and I would break my fast the following Sunday after I partook of the sacrament. And invariably wonderful things began to happen, and he would have impressions come to him, or wonderful friends would show up and cheer him. And just week by week, things would, I would say, would be good, would happen. And this went on for several months, and after several months of this going on, I remember that one Saturday I was driving home from the grocery store, and it occurred to me I hadn't started my fast. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to get my mind and my heart ready for that. I've got to start my fast. And I had the distinct impression that that my fast had been acceptable, and that I no longer needed to do that. And I was kind of surprised by that impression, but I thought, okay, that's what I'll do. That the sacrifice was sufficient. And I went on about my life, and I would say about 3 weeks later, my son was always willing to go back to his mission and wanted to. There was a question as to whether he would be allowed to go. But about 3 weeks later, maybe not quite that long, the stake president called us and said that he would go back to his mission, and that he would go back to the very mission in which he was called. And so it was a great tutorial, as all of you have expressed for me, these wonderful tutorials that come to us as we try to help those who are suffering and who we love so much. Today I just want to leave with you this last thought. I was reading in 2 Nephi chapter 9, and I love the prophet Jacob in the Book of Mormon. And he's telling his brethren, and this is one of his great sermons, that the way for man is narrow, and it lieth in a straight course before him, and the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. I think it's so beautiful that the Lord doesn't delegate coming to him to anyone else, that he is there at the gate. He employs no servant to take his place there. So even as parents, we can't give our children testimonies. We can't make them feel the Holy Ghost. We can't do anything of the sort, because he employs no servant there. That our loved ones have to come and personally feel him in their lives. And I'm so grateful for that knowledge, and that helps me to, again, as it's been mentioned, to humbly step aside and allow sacred agency to be effective in the lives of our loved ones. Thank you so much. I love the gospel with all my heart. I'm so grateful for this mission and my chance to be a missionary. And I express my testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you, Sister Marsh.
I am Sister Oswald.
Hi, Sister Oswald.
I have really enjoyed hearing your testimonies of the importance of agency. As a child, my grandmother used to always tell me that if you wanted something done right, you needed to do it yourself. And I took that to heart and have spent my whole life trying to do it all by myself. And I was really touched as I started to learn more about the atonement and became a part of this program by a talk by Elder Bednar that is included with this principle. And he says, "We may mistakenly believe we must take the journey from good to better and become a saint all by ourselves through sheer grit, willpower, and discipline, and with our obviously limited capacities." And I, unfortunately, have thought that my whole life. And as God has given me a series of lessons tailored just for me, one of them is accepting other people's agency, I am beginning to learn that I can't do it by myself, that I do need God's help, and I do need the atonement. I love this other statement by President Bednar, or Brother Bednar, when he says, by Elder Bednar, when he says, "The enabling power of the atonement strengthens us to do and be good and to serve beyond our own individual desires and natural capacity, And I have come to learn through the 12 steps and now this new spouse and family support program that the atonement is for all of us, whether we think we are sinners or not. We all need the enabling power of the atonement to help us through those series of life's challenges, and I am grateful for the atonement and grateful for my testimony of that. I, too, have really enjoyed the Book of Mormon. I'm on my third time of reading it this year, which is unusual for me. I really can hardly put it down. I have just really loved the principles that I'm learning, and as I strive to learn what I need to do to become a better person, I am finding my answers through the Book of Mormon. And I'm grateful for that and have a testimony of it also. And I thank all of you for being here tonight and for sharing your experiences of faith and hope and healing. And appreciate all the insight that you have. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Please remember that what has been shared here is confidential, and the opinions expressed here are those of the individual who expressed them and do not necessarily represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Please review the gospel study and personal learning and application sections of the principles between meetings to build on what you've heard and experienced in this meeting. Finally, we thank each of you for your participation. And could I get a volunteer for our closing prayer?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before Thee humbled for this opportunity to be in this meeting and to be able to feel the Spirit and to feel Thy love and hope and healing. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for Thy Son's atonement, and through the power of this great gift in our life and in the life of our loved ones struggling in addiction. At this time, Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou would bless us with understanding and wisdom. We pray that Thou would bless us with a portion of Thy Spirit and give us personal revelation that we may know how to succor those who are in need, and also how to better ourselves, how to improve our life, and how we can become more like Thee. Father, we're grateful for the challenges which Thou gives us, for the struggles that we have that make us better. We're grateful for the Scriptures, for prayer, and for answers to prayer. At this time, we acknowledge Thy hand in our lives and pray for Thy Spirit to be with us, to help us to be more like Thee. These things we pray for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to an actual LDS Addiction Recovery Program Spouse and Family Support Meeting. For more information or to attend meetings near you, visit arp.lds.org or contact your local priesthood leader. To download a podcast of any episode of the Addiction Recovery Program, visit mormonchannel.org or arp.lds.org.